Catechetical Lecture 6, Concerning the Unity of God, on the article, I Believe in One God. Also Concerning Heresies, Isaiah 45:16-17, Sanctify yourselves unto me, O islands. Israel is saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. They shall not be ashamed, neither shall they be confounded forever. 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed also be his only begotten Son. For with the thought of God, let the thought of Father at once be joined, that the ascription of glory to the Father and the Son may be made indivisible. For the Father has not one glory, and the Son another, but one and the same, since he is the Father's only begotten Son. And when the Father is glorified, the Son also shares the glory with him, because the glory of the Son flows from his Father's honor. And again, when the Son is glorified, the Father of so great a blessing is highly honored. 2. Now though the mind is most rapid in its thoughts, yet the tongue needs words, and a long recital of intermediary speech. For the eye embraces at once a multitude of the starry choir, but when anyone wishes to describe them one by one, which is the morning star and which the evening star, and which each one of them, he has need of many words. In like manner, again, the mind in the briefest moment compasses earth and sea and all the bounds of the universe, but what it conceives in an instant, it uses many words to describe. Yet forcible as is the example I have mentioned, still it is after all weak and inadequate. For of God we speak not all we ought, for that is known to him only, but so much as the capacity of human nature has received, and so much as our weakness can bear. For we explain not what God is, but candidly confess that we have not exact knowledge concerning him. For in what concerns God, to confess our ignorance is the best knowledge. Therefore magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And all of us in common, for one alone is powerless. Nay, rather, even if we be all united together, we shall yet not do it as we ought. I mean not you only who are here present, but even if all the nurslings of the whole church throughout the world, both that which now is and that which shall be, should meet together, they would not be able worthily to sing the praises of their shepherd. 3. A great and honorable man was Abraham, but only great in comparison with men. And when he came before God, then speaking the truth candidly, he says, I am earth and ashes. He did not say earth and then cease, lest he should call himself by the name of that great element. But he added, and ashes, that he might represent his perishable and frail nature. Is there anything, he says, smaller or lighter than ashes? For take, says he, the comparison of ashes to a house, of a house to a city to a province to the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire to the whole earth and all its bounds, and the whole earth to the heaven in which it is embosomed, the earth which bears the same proportion to the heaven as the center to the whole circumference of a wheel, for the earth is no more than this in comparison with the heaven. Consider then that this first heaven which is seen is less than the second, and the second than the third, for so far Scripture has named them, not that they are only so many, but because it was expedient for us to know so many only. And when in thought you have surveyed all the heavens, not yet will even the heavens be able to praise God as he is. Nay, not if they should resound with a voice louder than thunder. But if these great vaults of the heavens cannot worthily sing God's praise, when shall earth and ashes, the smallest and least of things existing, be able to send up a worthy hymn of praise to God, or worthily to speak of God that sitteth upon the vaults of the earth and holds the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers? 4. If any man attempt to speak of God, let him first describe the bounds of the earth. You dwell on the earth, and the limit of this earth, which is your dwelling, you know not. How then shall you be able to form a worthy thought of its creator? You behold the stars, but their maker you behold not. Count these which are visible, and then describe him who is invisible, who telleth the number of the stars, and calleth them all by their names. Violent rains lately came pouring down upon us and nearly destroyed us. Number the drops in this city alone. Nay, I say not in the city, but number the drops on your own house for one single hour if you can, but you cannot. Learn then your own weakness. Learn from this instance the mightiness of God, for he has numbered the drops of rain, which have been poured down all on the earth, not only now, but in all time. The sun is a work of God, which, great though it be, is but a spot in comparison with the whole heaven. First gaze steadfastly upon the sun, and then curiously scan the Lord of the sun. Seek not the things that are too deep for you, neither search out the things that are above your strength. What is commanded you, think thereupon. 5. But someone will say, if the divine substance is incomprehensible, why then do you discourse on these things? So then, because I cannot drink up all the river, am I not even to take in moderation what is expedient for me? Because with eyes so constituted as mine, I cannot take in all the sun, am I not even to look upon him enough to satisfy my wants? Or again, because I have entered into a great garden and cannot eat all the supply of fruits, would you have me go away altogether hungry? I praise and glorify him that made us. For it is a divine command which says, let every breath praise the Lord. I am attempting now to glorify the Lord, but not to describe him, knowing nevertheless that I shall fall short of glorifying him worthily, yet deeming it a work of piety even to attempt it at all. For the Lord Jesus encourages my weakness by saying, no man hath seen God at any time. 6. What then, some man will say, is it not written, the little ones, angels, do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven? Yes, but the angels see God not as he is, but as far as they themselves are capable. For it is Jesus himself who says, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. The angels therefore behold as much as they can bear, and archangels as much as they are able, and thrones and dominions more than the former, but yet less than his worthiness. For with the Son the Holy Spirit alone can rightly behold him. For he searcheth all things, and knoweth even the deep things of God. As indeed the only begotten Son also, with the Holy Spirit, knows the Father fully. For neither, says he, knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. For he fully beholds, and according as each can bear, reveals God through the Spirit. Since the only begotten Son, together with the Holy Spirit, is a partaker of the Father's Godhead. He who was begotten without passion knows him who begot, and he who begot knows him who is begotten. Since angels then are ignorant, for to each according to his own capacity does the only begotten reveal him through the Holy Ghost, as we have said, let no man be ashamed to confess his ignorance. I am speaking now, as all do on occasion, but how we speak, we cannot tell. How then can I declare him who has given us speech? I who have a soul and cannot tell its distinctive properties, how shall I be able to describe its giver? 7. For devotion it suffices us simply to know that we have a God who is one, a living and ever-living God, always like unto himself, who has no father, none mightier than himself, no successor to thrust him out of his kingdom, who in name is manifold, in power infinite, in substance uniform. For though he is called good and just and almighty in Sabaoth, he is not on that account diverse and various, but being one and the same, he sends forth countless operations of his Godhead, not exceeding here and deficient there, but being in all things like unto himself, not great in loving kindness only, and little in wisdom, but with wisdom and loving kindness in equal power, not seeing in part, and in part devoid of sight, but being all eye and all ear and all mind, not like us perceiving in part and in part not knowing, for such a statement were blasphemous and unworthy of the divine substance. He foreknows the things that be, he is holy and almighty and excels all in goodness and majesty and wisdom, of whom we can declare neither beginning nor form nor shape. For you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his face, says Holy Scripture. Wherefore Moses says also to the Israelites, and take ye good heed to your own souls, for ye saw no similitude. For if it is wholly impossible to imagine his likeness, how shall thought come near his substance? 8. There have been many imaginations by many persons, and all have failed. Some have thought that God is fire, others that he is, as it were, a man with wings, because of a true text ill understood, "Thou shalt hide me under the shadow of thy wings." They forgot that our Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten, speaks in like manner concerning himself to Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. For whereas God's protecting power was conceived as wings, they, failing to understand this, sank down to the level of things human, and supposed that the unsearchable exists in the likeness of man. Some again dared to say that he has seven eyes, because it is written, "Seven eyes of the Lord looking upon the whole earth." For if he has but seven eyes surrounding him in part, his seeing is therefore partial and not perfect. But to say this of God is blasphemous. For we must believe that God is in all things perfect, according to our Savior's word, which says, "Your Father in heaven is perfect, perfect in sight, perfect in power, perfect in greatness, perfect in foreknowledge, perfect in goodness, perfect in justice, perfect in loving kindness, not circumscribed in any space, but the creator of all space, existing in all and circumscribed by none. Heaven is his throne, but higher is he that sits thereon, and earth is his footstool, but his power reaches unto things under the earth." 9. One he is, everywhere present, beholding all things, perceiving all things, creating all things through Christ. For all things were made by him, and without him was not made anything else. A fountain of everything good, abundant and unfailing, a river of blessings, an eternal light of never-failing splendor, an insuperable power condescending to our infirmities, whose very name we dare not hear. "Wilt thou find a footstep of the Lord," says Job, "or hast thou attained unto the least things which the Almighty hath made?" If the least of his works are incomprehensible, shall he be comprehended who made them all? Eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. If the things which God has prepared are incomprehensible to our thoughts, how can we comprehend with our mind himself who has prepared them? Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out, says the apostle. If his judgments and his ways are incomprehensible, can he himself be comprehended? 10. God then being thus great and yet greater, for even were I to change my whole substance into tongue, I could not speak his excellence, nay more, not even if all angels should assemble, could they ever speak his worth. God being therefore so great in goodness and majesty, man has yet dared to say to a stone that he is graven, "Thou art my God." O monstrous blindness, that from majesty so great came down so low. The tree which was planted by God and nourished by the rain and afterwards burnt and turned into ashes by the fire, this is addressed as God, and the true God is despised. But the wickedness of idolatry grew yet more prodigal, and cat and dog and wolf were worshipped instead of God. The man-eating lion also was worshipped instead of God, the most loving friend of man. The snake and the serpent, counterfeit of him who thrust us out of paradise, were worshipped, and he who planted paradise was despised. And I am ashamed to say, and yet do say it, even onions were worshipped among some. Wine was given to make glad the heart of man, and Dionysus was worshipped instead of God. God made corn by saying, "Let the earth bring forth grass, yielding seed after his kind and after his likeness, that bread may strengthen man's heart." Why then was Demeter worshipped? Fire comes forth from striking stones together, even to this day. How then was Vulcan the creator of fire? 11. Whence came the polytheistic error of the Greeks? God has no body. Whence then the adulteries alleged among those who were by them called gods? I say nothing of the transformations of Zeus into a swan. I am ashamed to speak of his transformations into a bull, for bellowings are unworthy of a god. The god of the Greeks has been found an adulterer, yet they are not ashamed, for if he is an adulterer, let him not be called a god. They tell also of deaths and falls and thunderstrokes of their gods. See from how great a height and how low they have fallen. Was it without reason then that the Son of God came down from heaven? Or was it that he might heal so great a wound? Was it without reason that the Son came? Or was it in order that the Father might be acknowledged? Thou hast learned what moved the only begotten to come down from the throne at God's right hand. The Father was despised, the Son must needs correct the error, for he through whom all things were made must bring them all as offerings to the Lord of all. The wound must be healed. For what could be worse than this disease, that a stone should be worshipped instead of God? Of heresies. 12. And not among the heathen only did the devil make these assaults, for many of those who are falsely called Christians and wrongfully addressed by the sweet name of Christ have ere now impiously dared to banish God from his own creation. I mean the brood of heretics, those most ungodly men of evil name, pretending to be friends of Christ but utterly hating him. For he who blasphemes the Father of the Christ is an enemy of the Son. These men have dared to speak of two Godheads, one good and one evil. O monstrous blindness! If a Godhead, then assuredly good. But if not good, why called a Godhead? For if goodness is an attribute of God, if loving-kindness, beneficence, almighty power are proper to God, then of two things one, either in calling him God let the name and operation be united, or if they would rob him of his operations, let them not give him the bare name. 13. Heretics have dared to say that there are two gods, and of good and evil two sources, and these unbegotten. If both are unbegotten, it is certain that they are also equal, and both mighty. How then does the light destroy the darkness? And do they ever exist together, or are they separated? Together they cannot be, for what fellowship hath light with darkness, says the Apostle. But if they are far from each other, it is certain that they hold also each his own place. And if they hold their own separate places, we are certainly in the realm of one God, and certainly worship one God. For thus we must conclude, even if we assent to their folly, that we must worship one God. Let us examine also what they say of the good God. Has he power or no power? If he has power, how did evil arise against his will? And how does the evil substance intrude, if he be not willing? For if he knows but cannot hinder it, they charge him with want of power. But if he has the power, yet hinders not, they accuse him of treachery. Mark, too, their want of sense. At one time they say that the evil one has no communion with the good God and the creation of the world, but at another time they say that he has the fourth part only. Also they say that the good God is the Father of Christ, but Christ they call this Son. If, therefore, according to them, the world was made by the evil one, and the Son is in the world, how is the Son of the good an unwilling slave in the kingdom of the evil? We bemire ourselves in speaking of these things, but we do it lest any of those present should from ignorance fall into the mire of the heretics. I know that I have defiled my own mouth and the ears of my listeners, yet it is expedient. For it is much better to hear absurdities charged against others than to fall into them from ignorance. Far better that you know the mire and hate it than unawares fall into it. For the godless system of the heresies is a road with many branches, and whenever a man has strayed from the one straight way, then he falls down precipices again and again.